this morning I'll be reading Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight. You may be seated. Good morning, church. For those of you who do not know me, my name is Lexi Pito. I am the Next Gen Children's Director here at Gallatin First, and I am also the newest addition to our wonderful staff. Let's give a hand for our staff. It's been such a joy to be on this team, and I'm very thankful for the opportunity to be a part of this church family. So when Pastor James approached me with the opportunity to share my testimony this morning, my first thought was, yes, every opportunity I have to share the gospel, I want to be a part of. But as this day came closer, I began to feel the enemy trying to get me down. He said, you're not bold enough, you're not good enough, you're not worthy, until I finally said, enough is enough. Philippians 4, 6 through 8 says this, be anxious to nothing, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So, you know what, devil? Not today. Before I begin, let us pray together that the Holy Spirit may enter my words and fill this place. Dear Jesus, I ask for your presence in this room. Please come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts and minds of your people. Amen. November 15th, 1998, I was born in San Diego, California. My mom and dad loved me so much, and we lived there for a few years before moving to Maryland for my dad's work. I was around six when my parents sat me down in my living room. I remember sitting on my daddy's lap as my mom explained that they were getting a divorce, but that they still loved me and would continue to work together to care for me. In my profession, when a child learns of their parents' divorce or if they experience anything that's sudden or traumatic, it's my job to direct them back to Jesus. However, as a child, I didn't really know Jesus. My parents were believers, but they didn't attend church regularly aside from holidays or when the neighbors invited us. So, like any child, I wasn't exactly excited about their separation. My dad moved into an apartment nearby, and eventually I adjusted to seeing him on the weekends only and living with my mom during the school week. Within the next year or so, my mom started dating her soon-to-be husband, Hank, who some of you may recognize. He comes to the 11 o'clock with me. Mom tried to get me comfortable with the idea of Hank by taking us on family dates to the roller rink or the movies. And there were times when I played the you're not my dad card, but overall I was starting to like this new guy. It wasn't long before they were married and Hank became my stepfather. The three of us moved into a townhouse in Maryland while my dad made the move to Warrenton, Virginia. I continued to visit him on the weekends. The remaining years of elementary school went well, but as middle school progressed, we began to have issues within our family. Eighth grade was supposed to be the best year. Mom was finishing up her last year in her master's program for elementary education, and I was beginning to go to high school. Meanwhile, I had been playing guitar and writing songs since age seven. I was obsessed with going to Nashville. Although I wasn't a practicing Christian, God had me somewhere deep down. My grandmother had given me an audible teddy bear that, as a little girl, recited, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep," that prayer. I had memorized it, and every night before bed for a year, I would recite it and ask God to move me to Nashville. And look where we are now. Not the way I had expected to get here, but he did it. At this point, I was playing music in restaurants and bars, and life at home was getting difficult. And honestly, I had no idea what my mother was experiencing emotionally until one day she never came to pick me up from a friend's house and she had committed suicide that weekend. Nobody knew what to do because nobody expected that. All of a sudden, life became so much more complicated. I moved with Dad to Virginia and started going to high school. I knew one girl who lived nearby who was also going to that high school, but other than that, I was the new girl. And Dad wasn't home much because he traveled frequently for work. I felt very lost. I felt like the one sheep that God leaves the 99 to find, but I didn't know God. And then Hank reached out to take me to lunch, and from that day, he became my biggest cheerleader. He took me to every gig, I played with my band, and every lacrosse game. Hank and Dad became the best of friends because they bonded over co-parenting me. Hank would stay in our guest room when Dad was traveling for work, so I had someone to look after me. I think God was smiling down on us at this point because somehow, after all of that, I ended up with two dads who loved me so much, but at this point, I still wasn't very close to God. Hank made the decision to retire and move to Nashville with me to help me pursue my dreams in music. We moved to Hendersonville when I was about 16. Hank was a Christian from day one, and I told him I wanted to start going to church. So we started attending Hendersonville First United Methodist Church. There I joined the worship team and was a part of the youth group. We were going regularly on Sundays, and God became a bigger part of my life, but he still wasn't my first priority. I graduated from JP2 and enrolled at Belmont University to study music. It was the summer before college that the enemy slapped me in the face again. My brain didn't know how to respond to the trauma I had experienced as a child, and I was diagnosed with severe OCD and mild depression. And that's when I hit my knees and began to pray hard. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, as we read earlier, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. I couldn't trust my own thoughts. Have you ever been there where you were so worried or so upset about something that you couldn't even trust what your mind is telling you? I would repeat Bible verses over and over, and I would pray, and I started reading my Bible more. I figured if I couldn't trust the voices in my head, I could trust what God was saying. It wasn't long before I was baptized at Ethos Church, a non-denominational church in Nashville that I had been attending with some college friends. And ever since that day, God has revealed so much to me about my identity and what it means to be a child of God. I learned that I didn't need music to feel worthy anymore. Losing my mom to suicide made me feel like I was unlovable. Like I wasn't worthy of love because I felt like the person who brought me into the world abandoned me. But God says just the opposite, that you are so worthy of love that he sent his only son to die on the cross for you. That whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And no matter how much you've done wrong, you are loved just the way you are. Not because of anything you do, but because you are you. I'm sorry. I didn't need affirmation from my music anymore, or from my talents, I didn't expect to cry this much, but in God's eyes, I'm enough. I still love to sing, and I love to write songs, but it isn't my priority in life to be famous like I dreamed about in my childhood. I want people to hear my music, but more than anything, I want to love others, and I want to be loved. I want children specifically to know that they are loved, so when they experience life and things are hard, they won't ever doubt for a second that they are worthy. I want to give them the gift that I didn't have as a child. I want them to know Jesus, and I want to be a small part of their faith journey. I'm so thankful for my family and friends, and to Gallatin First for giving me the opportunity to pursue children's ministry as a full-time occupation. And now I'm going to pray so I can sing. Would you bow your heads with me? Dear Lord, thank you for the opportunity to stand in front of this congregation today. Lord, I just pray that you would work in the hearts of these people and that they would feel loved and they would feel worthy and that they would know you, God. That they would just put you number one in all of their priorities above everything, so that in all things that you may be shining through as the light that you are in our hearts and in our lives and in the lives of others around us and in our country. And I just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Most days when I look in the mirror, I don't see what you see in me. I'm face to face with all my fears, caught up in what the world thinks. When I find I'm losing hope, you reach out, pull me close. You tell me I am clothed with strength and dignity, every inch made perfectly, all together beautiful. You tell me wonderfully made. You paid the ultimate price so you could call my name and tell me I am clothed with strength and dignity, every inch made perfectly, altogether beautiful. You tell me I am worthy. Together beautiful. You tell